And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Be the best and you gotta pay a little price. If you want it bad enough, you gotta do a little extra things to get it.
Welcome to the 11 Personnel Podcast, your favorite Rams podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Rodriguez, and with me, as always, my fabulous co-host, Rich Hammond. Rich,
how we doing?
Oh my gosh, Jordan, it's Monday morning. I feel like I did nothing all weekend except to watch football. Now I know what your life is like.
This was a little bit more leisurely of an experience than I'm generally accustomed to this time of year, actually. I was having a total freaking heart attack in the Tampa Bay press box about this time last year. So,
oh my gosh. Yeah. Do you get to, we're going to get to all the Rams stuff here. Do you enjoy watching the games after you don't have to cover them? Or is it kind of like, I always think about, you know, people who like cook at a really great restaurant or something. And it's like, do you go back to the restaurant to eat just for leisure? Or like, are you so sick of the food that you have to go someplace else? Like, can you sit and watch, Cowboys 49ers and like enjoy it for what it is?
Or absolutely. I mean, I love it because it's like everybody's doing different things and trying different things. And you know how I feel about defense. And I really have enjoyed watching all of these defenses play in the terms of the last four teams that are in it and just the different concepts that they're deploying and kind of like trying to predict what comes next. And I also like have quite the setup when I'm watching games. I don't like to be around anyone because this is my time, right?
Right.
I don't like to be like, I'll go to a bar or whatever with friends, but like my preference is to do pretty much the opposite of how I cover a game, which is to kind of be like folded up in blankets on my couch with the dog on one side of the couch and it, like multiple candles going, a glass of wine. Like it is legit like the most, because I don't have to do anything. I can just sit there.
It sounds like how people watch The Bachelor.
It's like, right? And I've never seen an episode of that show in my life, but like this is like self-care for me because it's like, somehow it's like really soothing. And then the problem is though, it's like, you know, you go in that mode. Like for me, I like feel like I just should like put my phone away or something because I don't want to like feel like I have to have commentary. Nobody cares what I think about these games. It's fine. But like you're in that mode where you're like, oh, should I be taking notes or like, what do I need to be writing?
I know.
Or like you kind of go into that like crazy thought process because you're sort of used to snapping into that mode. It's like Pavlovian at this point, but it's fun. Yeah. It's fun. It's really nice. I like doing it. I like, I feel like especially, I mean, I haven't gotten to do this in forever. So it's like, I don't know if I don't think I'll have time to get sick of it, frankly, because I think the Rams will be back in it in no time. But
Well, I'm glad you get a little time at least here. And but yeah, we say it every year, right? I mean, the wheel never really stops spinning. So here we are in late January, and you think, well, it's time to relax. There's nothing going to happen. But there's always something happening. Always something happening. And Jordan, a couple things we want to touch on during this podcast. One is, we'll go with the second one first. But you were able to talk to Les Snead recently, so we'll get into some of his comments. Some real interesting stuff there about what the Rams might or might not do with their roster or some of the options. Les is always one of my favorite times of the year, was him in that sit down at the end of the season, because
except
it was
for
very
after when you have to transcribe it.
Ooh, that was tough. We used to split it up. I don't know if you guys split it up.
No, we would not. Like
we would draw straws to see who got. Real interesting stuff in there. But probably more immediately, Jordan, is and we knew this is coming. You had hinted at it, strongly hinted at it, both on this podcast and in your print work. But the Rams did make some decisions on some assistant coaches. We knew there was going to be some movement there. We knew there was probably going to be some significant movement there beyond the moves that we already knew were going to take place, such as Liam Cohen going on. So some moves there, some names bigger than others, I guess you would say, more impactful, higher profile than others. But Jordan, what were your takeaways from those eight who are moving on, and what do you think it said about where the Rams were, and where do you what do you think it said about where the Rams are going?
Yeah, so knew it was coming, but it was a surprise that it leaked the way that it did, because the Rams really, I think, are very good about when they do make these types of decisions, basically springboarding coaches into different opportunities, or like keeping it so it's not hitting the news cycle, so that it's, you know, these guys can kind of move quietly and get into their new opportunities. And so it's more of a clean exit and entrance into their new spaces. And I would not have any doubt that most, if not all of these assistants will get new jobs, but that was a surprise. And then the coaches who were let go, specifically were offensive line coach Kevin Carberry, defensive assistants Skylar Jones and Lance Schulters, special teams coordinator Joe DeCamillis, and DB's coach Jonathan Cooley, and then OLB's coach Thad Bogardus. His contract expires and they're not planning to renew that contract. So six coaches, eight departures overall, inclusive to Liam Cohen, who took the job at Kentucky, and then Rashad Samples, who took the job at Arizona State a couple of months ago. So eight departures from the total coaching staff overall. And I think that the other big surprise, I think if you could start to read some of the body language from Sean towards Joe DeCamillis, particularly in that game, you could see, I went back and I watched the broadcast, and like, it was gnarly. Yeah. You could see that there was some frustration there, but it was still surprising because Joe is someone who Sean has leaned on in terms of how much experience he has and sort of how much wisdom and general presence he has about like, the way that he's managed the ebbs and flows of different things in the past. And when the Rams were just atrocious in the middle of this year, you know, Joe was someone who was sort of able to talk Sean through like his own experiences and just basically be sort of in that experienced role, like, you know, not a mentor necessarily, but someone who's been through the ringer multiple times and knows kind of what happens on the other side. And I think there was some surprise in the sense that there was so much churn in terms of the players who were supposed to be on special teams, but then were thrust into more prominent roles on the offensive and defensive sides because of just like how injured the Rams were up top, that, you know, you're basically dealing with people you meet for the first time every single week, and then you're installing your entire special teams plan. So really the four consistent players who basically were there every single week in and week out were Riley Dixon, Matt Gay, Matt Orchek, and Brandon Powell. But, you know, you're not even talking about like the bulk of special teams, which is those coverage units and the protection units and how the contours are supposed to unfold. And not to say the least that they promoted Terrell Burgess to a core four special teamer. So like someone who is on track to be a captain there. And then they cut him earlier this year. So this has all been surprising in terms of like, I would not be the first or the last to say that special teams was not up to par of where it needed to be. But I think there was some surprise based on the circumstances that the Rams were in about, you know, and certainly there was some surprise internally from the players about that particular move. And then the other one that was really surprising and shocking even to a couple of people internally that I talked to was Jonathan Cooley, very much a player's coach, someone who Sean McVay had blocked from the Minnesota job, that Kevin O'Connell wanted to bring him in the same, if not similar role. And Sean McVay blocked him after last season and then put Chris Shula in place as another DB's coach and largely working with like the safeties. And Shula had never coached DBs before. And so there was a maturation process between the two and the collaboration and all of that. and then ended up firing Cooley. So that was something that was pretty surprising as well. Cooley was one of the people who helped Brandon Staley install that Fangio system, particularly some of the coverages and some of those complex things back in 2020. So, and he, you know, he'd been there through that time. So definitely expect those two to find a role. But those two in particular, I think, were the ones who, I know that Twitter and fans and people are like surprised about certain other names, but specifically like the DeCamillis and the Cooley dismissals were the ones that drew the most surprise internally and in the locker room.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, Cooley, I would love to get the kind of the story behind that, because on the face of it, it doesn't. It's definitely surprising. Let's put it that way. And yeah, DeCamillis. I mean, it was, yeah, I was watching that last game from home and oh my gosh, the it was like the, you know, you could do the little red laser beams that were coming out of Sean's eyes at times when you can see him on the sideline. So it wasn't entirely surprising to see that happen. But I totally agree, Jordan, with you know, anytime, and not just the Rams, but any team, any season, whenever you start to have some type of personnel issues, whether it be injuries or whatever, the first thing that gets impacted is special teams, because that's where those guys come from. They have to come from somewhere, and they end up coming up from special teams and playing bigger roles and having more responsibilities, and then other guys have to fill in, and you have this revolving door, and things start to break down, and here you are, then you're the Rams. And so certainly would expect, you know, Joe DeCamillis to land somewhere, and be interesting to see what kind of, you know, philosophy the Rams have in replacing him. But Jordan, you also hinted.
The Packers inquired, you know, cite me on this, yeah. But like, I think the Packers actually inquired before they made their changes, inquired into Joe, which is interesting. Just like, there was always this sense, and not Joe specifically, but like with other people on staff, like there was always this sense that Sean was going to move on from quite a few assistants, even before he was dealing with, you know, his own process of deciding whether or not he was going to come back. There was always a very, very clear and strong sense that that was going to happen. So, the moves are surprising in a vacuum in terms of, you know, the some of the responsibilities that people had, but it's also, I guess, some of the making moves of this magnitude in general is not as surprising.
Right. Yeah. And I think you have said that over the last couple of weeks. It certainly have been primed for things like this to happen. But and Jordan, you did mention, you know, some of the moves that were kind of more publicly surprising. And I think probably at the top of that list would be Kevin Carberry from the offensive line. Everybody knows that the extraordinary number of injuries, the number of players who had to come in, guys coming off the street and becoming starters, basically. So, I mean, what do you tell people in that situation? I mean, my read on it, I don't think this is a reaction to the injuries or something like that. I mean, what's kind of your takeaway here, and where do you think maybe they might be thinking with the future of that position?
Yeah, I think when you remove a guy like Andrew Whitworth from that room, you start to see where maybe some of the communication gaps were that he was sort of smoothing over, like spackling over, like we like to say, just where some of the marks were that they that he had just by his presence being there had smoothed over. And I think when you start to go through that rapid and compounding turnover with all the injuries, those types of maybe gaps in communication start to grow, and they become even more clear and more exacerbated because of the sort of like spotlight on the situation in general. So, you know, I think that it's, you know, it's not anything about any coach as a person or anything like that. Carberry's well-liked throughout the building. But I think that when you're looking at the level of communication that Sean McVay was used to at that, in that spot specifically, and the level of sort of ground up, not just communication, but like teaching and all of that, that that Whitworth was also so instrumental in applying, then you start to look at, well, maybe they're looking at the at different personality types or different levels of experience from a new offensive line coach at that position, especially when you don't have Andrew Whitworth and sort of all that he knows and does and all that he brings in terms of connectivity and keeping that room together and like culture and all that stuff. So I think too, that, you know, brings me to the next point too, Rich, is like, you know, now that they've gotten this done essentially, and also now that I think they've moved pretty far along in their offensive coordinator search, like, again, to reiterate what I've reported a few times here and then also in print, is Mike LaFleur is the front runner for this job. And so if you've sort of established and identified who your front runner there is going to be, you can turn to other things. And so I think the next highest priority is offensive line coach. And there's a lot of decisions to make along the offensive line this upcoming season in terms of young guys. And that person has to be very established. They're probably looking at veteran coaches, like I said, to sort of fill that communication gap, to fill that leadership gap. And they're probably looking at people who they want to be very insightful and have quite a voice in terms of, you know, what that room looks like moving forward.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's funny, as you're saying there, I remember how Sean used to probably half jokingly call him Coach Whitworth, and at the time you kind of thought, oh, it's
he will not be coaching the Rams. I'll say that, like, I know people
yeah
want him, I think he's I said in my column last week, they need to hire him but not in that role.
Yeah, no I get that. I understand the draw there, but yeah, there probably was something to that. I mean, obviously it was kind of a little joke about his age and, you know, him being older than Sean and all of that, but I mean there was a lot to that, you know, and what he brought and that cohesion and that communication. So great point, Jordan, that it probably perhaps laid bare repair some things that had been, as you said very well, spackled over. I like that phrase by him being there. So offensive coordinator, yeah, I think probably the first domino there. And then on the other side of the ball, we'll see what happens. I mean, the league right now is in that spin cycle of interviews and everything. So Raheem Morris obviously still very much in the mix there, and so we'll see what happens, and could very well end up being that they need to find a defensive coordinator too, as we talked a little bit. If you missed any of that discussion, you can go back to last week's podcast about who might fill in there. So we'll see where this goes. Very interesting cycle. I'm fascinated to see who they bring in, the potential experience of some of these guys, maybe bringing in some guys who have been around the league and
the Rams own building in the past.
Yeah, as we said. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, go back and listen to the last podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. So, interesting stuff, because it speaks to a lot. I mean, none of this happens in a vacuum, and then that all ties back to our discussions about Sean McVay and how he might be retooling things to make things a better environment for him and for the Rams. So these things all tie in; they all go hand in hand like a big jigsaw puzzle. So fascinated to see how those hires play out here over the next few weeks. Jordan, the other part of this is you did get that talk with Les Snead, which is always a fun adventure. You never know which direction those are going to go in, but Les is so good in those because he articulates what's on his mind and what he's thinking, and I think my biggest takeaway from that, and this is if anybody missed it, it's a story that's on the Athletic app and website, so you can go check out Jordan's observations or breakdown of everything that took place there. My takeaway, Jordan, is Les talking about being open to pretty much anything when it comes to how this roster might look, which somebody from the outside might look and say, well, of course he is. Like that's his job, is to be open to everything. But what did you think about that when you heard that? Because that's one of those Rorschach tests. Like, that can mean pretty much anything to anybody, depending on how they look at it. So when Les Snead sits there and says, you know, we're open to anything, or he talks about using those words that start with R-E that can be either exciting or scary, when that first hits your ears from his mouth, what was it that came to mind for you, or what was your takeaway from that?
Yeah, I think we can file this under useless skill sets that will never be good for me to use in any other field, but right, this specific, very specific and niche job, and that is translating Les Snead.
Yes. And it's a very important job, yeah, but a very narrow job also. Yes.
Yeah. It's like, well, this will not apply in any other facet of my life ever, for as long as I am lucky enough to be on this planet or any other planet, as Les so often is. So I think, like, when I hear that, I just think, I don't think about a rebuild, the word rebuild, because I know when you're a team and you're like, well, we're open to anything, like that generally comes from general managers who are like full of this hopeful optimism that like they can start building something from the ground up. When Les says it, it's really important because it's almost a threat, like in the sense that he's like, I'm a winding up Looney Tunes style my fist and about to punch, you know, right, like they do. And right, so, and I'm like, that kind of, to me, is like what I've been sort of talking about with you, Rich, this entire season, really. And as soon as the Rams started to really kind of go off a cliff, thinking to myself, well, what does it mean this off season? Where are they really at, and how will they assess where they're really at? And there's always disagreement, functional disagreement, I think, in the building about like who, like what a window is, whether a window should even be the word that's used, who decides it, what's it built around. And I think like they know that there are a few ways that they can go based on the core that they have, whether they keep that core intact. And I think they know that there are a few ways that they can go if they don't want to keep that core intact, but in ways that will still keep them in a, what I believe that many in that building believe is to be still a contention window. A lot of that too is Aaron Donald coming back and sort of being public about, after scaring people on Twitter for like half a second, like, and it's a real question. So it's like, I get why, right, people freak about it, because it's like a real question after he broached the retirement conversation last year. And I totally get that. But like, it's so him saying that he's going to come back and all that. If you have him, you know, the Aaron Donald contention window exists as one thing. If you don't have him, you're starting to ask big questions about like whether or not you blow things up with Sean, everything he went through this off season. You're asking big questions about how long are you sure you have this guy? You're sure you have him through 2023. You know that your core is aging out. Do you have one more year of this core playing in the prime, right on the edge of falling off to the other side? And to me, if I'm looking at this very clear eyed, to me, the answer is yes. You have 2023 to make something happen. So when he right. says all things are on the table, I think about things like when they did a retool in 2019, and I've reiterated this too, because it makes a lot of their trade attempts this season make sense. They set the pattern out already. Mm. In 2019, when they went and traded a huge pick haul away for Jalen Ramsey, who they not only were bringing in because he's a premier player at a premier position, but also because they knew they were going to rebuild their entire defense, including their scheme, around what he can do best in coordination right. with Aaron Donald. And so when you're looking at that, that was technically a remodel, the word Les likes to use, especially, and it was a huge one because of what the effects were on that side of the ball. And then 2 years, it sort of set the table for where they went next, which 2 years later was winning a Super Bowl. And so I think that they're looking at this now. This is my opinion and, you know, an educated opinion. You're looking at this now like you do have a set of potential moves available to you if you do want to push. And you do have capital available to you if you do want to push for 2023. The Brian Burns trade to me was an example, or the trade attempt, for example, was a great predictor of this, because that was super similar to the Jalen Ramsey trade, except it didn't work out for Brian Burns, in that you wanted to bring in a player who would not only help set the table in the short term and make you ultra competitive at a certain spot in the short term that can quantify into wins and losses in the short term. And then you also, on the other side, when you do decide you need to quote unquote rebuild fully, you have a player who you can then build around more quickly because you already have a set of elite traits in a premier and game affecting position. So that's kind of what those two I'd compare them to. But now you're also looking at a core of players who are contractually intact. And you sort of are looking at, you know, you still have the potential of acquiring capital even as you're moving capital out, because right. you have that core of such premier elite players at premier elite positions. So when he says everything is open, or all is on the table for us, all things are on the table for us, to me, it looks like they're not thinking about, you know, what happens if we have to, you know, if we build from the ground up. They're looking at how can we basically acquire assets that will help us in the short term and the long term, and what will it take to acquire those assets that will help us in the short term, punch really, really hard in 2023, and will still help us in the long term, 2024, 2025, 2026. And he even, I mean, Les will always give you the blueprint if you know what lines to read between. That's what he's under contract through 2026. Those were the right. years that he used in terms of like, almost literally that exact same statement. How can you look at what will help you now and also what will help you in 2024, 2025, 2026? So that's what that's what that means to me. I didn't take it as a sort of a, well, I guess here's where we're at. And instead now I take it as like a threat, like a wind up almost of some crazy stuff that I've been saying. Like, it feels, you don't know what it is, but you know, like there's just things are in the works. Like you don't know. And there's a lot of ways that they can go. And I'm not even going to get into like speculation or anything like that, cause it's annoying, but like, there are so many things that there are so many ways that they're a lot more flexible than I think pundits on the outside want to think that they are, in part because the less need factor is that he gives no F's about, like, if there's a move that gives them multiple flexibility and asset acquisition and, you know, roster boost, like, he's going to make that move. So I think, you know, you don't really factor in emotion with him. You didn't last year. I mean, it was hard for him to trade Robert Woods. He still talks about it. It was hard, but it didn't stop. It didn't stop him. And I'm not saying that, like, that's similar to what's going to happen here. Like I said, I'm not getting into speculation, but like, when he says all things are on the table, like, he really freaking means all things are on the table.
Yeah, we are in the, if this were the horror movie, we would be hearing the first note of that ominous music, like the first couple piano notes or whatever that make you go, uh-oh, something's coming. I don't know what it is yet, but I know it's going to be thrilling. So I think part of the problem here is we get a little tied to these terms, like people use the term rebuild or retool or remodel or whatever, and you start to come up with an image in your head of what that means. And I think the lesson of Les Snead is that you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't come up with some preconceived idea of what that means, because he's not working within that world. His brain is the galaxy brain is all over the place. You can't even probably conceptualize everything that's going on there. So that, I think that's where I would just kind of caution people. Very interesting comments, by the way, and very interesting to hear him talk like that. But it's not even necessarily like they're going to pivot toward, oh, it's a rebuild, so we're going to trade some of our players. There's a scenario, and again, this is just me talking. It's not specific to any player or even specific to the Rams, but you can trade one of your top players and still be going for it. It doesn't mean that you're backing off or saying, oh, we're not trying to win in 2023. This is about the next couple of years. It's about using your assets. And if you think the best way to use your asset is to move that player and bring in a different kind of haul and emphasize a different position or whatever it may be, like, it doesn't mean you're backing off. It doesn't mean you're rebuilding. It doesn't mean you're not trying to win. It's just you're trying to change the calculus here and say, how can we attack in a little bit of a different way in terms of building this roster? So that's why I think that's how I'm reading it, Jordan. Please, you know, interrupt me if I'm wrong here, but I don't see it as, oh, we're picking a new lane or we're going to pivot toward this strategy or that strategy. I don't think it's changed. I think there's still full steam ahead trying to win. It's just, do we need to look at different ways of what that means, different strategies, different moves that maybe will accomplish that goal? I don't know. That's just how I look at it. Do you think that's roughly in line?
Yeah, I don't think anyone in that building thinks that the roster, if it were healthy, wouldn't have been competitive this year. But you're kind of looking at that in a vacuum, the injuries in a vacuum, and now you're looking and saying, okay, well, how can they be better than what they would have been last year, minus the injuries? And some of that, it's going to mean increasing quality of depth in certain spots. It's going to mean getting another elite pass rusher, like I've been saying forever and ever and ever and ever. Oh my gosh. That will be something that stays. You write that on my tombstone. Whether it's upgrading some of the quality that they have in certain spots, and a lot of that, because of their roster is so top heavy with that core, it's upgrading depth positions, and you can do that type of maneuvering. They did a lot of that type of maneuvering, I think people forget, in the offseason leading up to 2021. One of the big things was that signing of Sony Michel as like that steady back. You know, they had some injuries and then they sort of were tweaking and manipulating in different ways. And I think that you're looking at that, but you're also looking at, you know, where do you add in premier spots, or how do you maneuver in premier spots to not be places where you think you can be better, whether that's, you know, a schematic upgrade and scheme, helping out a player, helping a player thrive, maybe more so than they were prepared to do this last offseason. Look at like the run game and the pass, some of the elements of the passing game in that regard. And sometimes it might mean that they're making wholesale acquisitions or making moves. The thing is like the ethos of this group is that it will not stand still. Right. And, you know, they didn't stand still at all this past off season, but I do think they learned a lot of valuable lessons about, you know, some of the pivots that you take and then some of the substance you need to put behind some of the moves that you make in terms of it's not just about acquiring the player. It's about making sure that there's a cohesive vision put into action for that player, which again was why they were so successful in part with that Jalen Ramsey trade, not just because he is an elite player, which he is, but it's also because the vision matched the move, the vision for not just the capital, but also the vision for the scheme change. It matched the move itself. So I think that's what you're looking at here.
Yeah, it's a fascinating, I mean, you've been the preeminent expert in this team and this organization and roster building, but it's not, it's the one thing you can say about it, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, it's never static. You can never accuse them of sitting and being behind the curve. You can criticize them. You can say they made wrong moves. You can say they picked the wrong lane or whatever, but you can't accuse them of being static. You can't accuse them of being flat-footed. There's absolutely no way that anybody could say that. So my takeaway is, you know, hold on to your hats, so to speak, because you never know what's going to be next. It seems like every year it's something different, right? I mean, it's the blockbuster trade, or it's, you know, signing Bobby Wagner, or you know, they've attacked this in so many different ways over the last few years, and it sounds to me like they're not done. They're not done trying to find ways to attack this thing. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. I don't know, but it's one of the fascinating things about being around this organization is that they are constantly picking at those threads and seeing where it leads them and you know what might happen next. So
one thing I know is I will never know peace while covering this team, but it is okay because I am not by nature a person who seeks out peace.
Seeks out peace.
So when you're my game when I'm watching other teams, yes, play, yes. I'm like, wow. I wonder how calm it is around that organization every day.
Right,
like, do we think everyone just is like happy all the time? Like, is it just is everything just smooth and there's no spikes in the right, Richter scale, yeah, there?
Right. Like, what's it like to be around the Chiefs? Like, it just must be so calm. There's stability every year, and yeah, I don't know. But then we wouldn't get the amazing stories that we get from you, Jordan. So I don't think I would trade that that make that trade-off, because the quality that we get is extraordinary, let's put it that way. So so here we go. I mean, there's a little bit of downtime here. I mean, we talked about the coaching situation. Those interviews are going to have to take place. Teams are going to start making their decisions, finalizing. Those dominoes tend to fall into place. Jordan, one thing that you also mentioned in your column, the Rams still go through the process of sitting down with these players and having individual meetings. That may take place, I'm guessing, over the course of a few weeks. I mean, some guys go on vacation right away. Some guys are hanging around. So I would imagine that they're probably going to be in that process now and going a little bit forward. And then, of course, the combine right around the corner, and they have to start making decisions on guys they might bring back, or do they want to restructure some contracts? There's a lot of moving pieces here, Jordan, but what do you think the next domino is here? Do you think it's probably that offensive coordinator position that's going to be the first step? But I guess unless somebody were to hire a Raheem Morris, maybe that would change the calculus a little bit, but offensive coordinator probably.
Well, I think they won't probably make anything official. They won't probably do any sort of official announcement. I think you're like just going to be waiting for all of that to come out at once. Stuff right. will leak, of course. Like, I think that's reasonable to say, but like my understanding is that the priorities, I mean, they don't really know what's going to happen with Raheem Morris. The stuff in Indy for him has been going well, so they're really kind of in a holding pattern there. But in terms of and also with Thomas Brown and Zach Robinson, both of whom Thomas Brown has had head coaching interviews and OC interviews, and Zach Robinson's been requested for a couple of OC interviews. They're kind of like in a holding pattern with that type of situation. But in terms of what their priorities are, in my understanding, the priorities of the known openings are, you know, getting an OC in place and then the offensive line coach. So, you never know, could have news sooner rather than later. Those things are happening pretty much as we speak. So duck swimming on the pond, you know,
yes, feet, exactly.
Feet pedaling furiously underwater.
Should be the new logo of our 11 personnel if we ever decide to change it. That's what it should be. So, Jordan, great stuff as always. Thank you for being on top of all of that for us. Of course, you can follow along on Twitter at Jordan Rodrigue. We're going to try. I even hate to say this out loud, Jordan, because I feel like I'm going to jinx you. I'm going to try to give Jordan a little bit of downtime. So we might not hear from her next week, but there might be stuff to talk about. Maybe we'll find somebody else to come on and chat with me. But I'm going to cross my fingers, Jordan, that we are able to give you at least a couple days of rest. But really, folks, great coverage that's already on The Athletic, breaking down this stuff, whether it be rosters, coaching staff. Look, there's a lot of good stuff out there. I know I'm biased. I don't think you're going to find anything better than what we have to offer at The Athletic. And I think that's been consistent for a long time. I know what Jordan's working on, too. She gives me little hints sometimes. And I'm like bursting to tell you guys like what's but I'm not going to. I'm not going to, Jordan. So don't freak out. But I know what Jordan's mind is working on right now. And I'm excited on behalf of everybody. So thank you again to all of our subscribers. I know you're going to look forward to seeing what Jordan's working on this offseason. It's going to be awesome. And if you're not already on board, I understand. Now we're through the holidays. You've had a chance to kind of reconfigure your finances a little bit, see what you've got. And I've got some great news for you, because right now you can go to theathletic.com/11personnel. Sign up, get a whole year of Jordan's awesome coverage, and you'll make her happy because you'll get her favorite thing in the entire world, which is what?
A great discount, you guys, every single time. Rich is right. They keep letting us do this. Don't know how, but here we are. Every single time you subscribe to The Athletic through the 11 Personnel podcast, you get my favorite thing in the world, which is a great discount. I maybe won't see you guys next week. Rich will be here holding it down like a champ. But we'll see what happens and kind of how the rest of the week matriculates here, as things often change suddenly in this world. But I'll definitely be back in the fold soon. And in the meantime, I hope you guys are taking care of each other and taking care of yourselves. Hope you're staying hydrated and caffeinated. We'll catch you next time.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.